your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 25. Exodus, chapter 25. I'm just going to read about the first 9 verses. And then probably talk about something else. Sort of. Exodus, chapter 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Now, I'm going to start talking about the tabernacle, which is called the tabernacle of the congregation. But before we get into this, I'm going to back up a little bit. With this tabernacle of the congregation, this is the one given in the wilderness to the Israelites. And it went on, was carried into the promised land. Now, this will not be a lofty theological study in exacting dissection of each and every element of the tabernacle. Not because I don't think you guys would enjoy that, it's because I'm not really good at that sort of thing. But hopefully it's going to be an overview of the design, the order, and the makeup of the tabernacle as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and dwelt, or as Earl always said, tabernacled among us. And that's what the word is. Tabernacle. Now, I've just been doing the stuff in Genesis, and I'm going to continue on a little bit in Exodus, because I like these Old Testament pictures. I really do. And sometimes you don't hear a lot about them, and sometimes when you do hear about them, it's not good, or it's not, actually it's not right. And there are some people who maybe haven't heard this. And, well, I know some of us have, and I like hearing about it, and I like reading about it, and I like studying on it. So I hope everybody else does too, because you're kind of going to be stuck with it for a little bit. But just the existence of a type means there is an antitype, a reality. Just the same for the word shadow. There is no shadow without something in reality casting that shadow against the wall or anything else. And shadows is a good scriptural word. In Colossians 2 and 17, Paul wrote, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Hebrews 8, 5, we read concerning the tabernacle, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished, right, what we just read, of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. And for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The Old Testament is continually and explicitly referenced in the New as it pertains to Christ, because this is talking about Christ. The tabernacle is expressly named here as a shadow of a heavenly thing. In the shadow that is the tabernacle of the congregation, we will see aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. But to start out here with chapter 25, in looking at this, this is actually a very strange account. This is where Moses went up into the mount by himself. And this is where the Lord spoke to him. But the strange part is in the previous chapter, chapter 24, he states, "And he said unto Moses," this is verse 1, "Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off." Then Moses goes and tells the people what's going on, some of the things that God had told them. These people turn and say, "All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do." Oops. Yeah. That's going to come back to bite them in a little bit. But then Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders separate themselves. They go partially up the mount, evidently, away from the children of Israel. And then it states, they saw the Lord. The 74 people. They saw the Lord. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. It's verse 10 of chapter 24. And the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. They lived. Because it was told that, you see God, you're going to die. No man can look upon me and live. Then after this is when Moses says, God tells Moses, come up alone. But part of what hit me is there are four people named expressly here that came up before Moses went up by himself. You have Moses and Aaron, the law and the priesthood. Then you have Nadab and Abihu. Now, some of you remember who those people are. Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron. They were made priests once the tabernacle was built. Once everything was collected, everything was built according to the pattern, Nadab and Abihu were made priests. They saw God. Says so right here. Later on, they're killed by God. Both of them. Burnt up by fire from the Lord. Because they went to the temple, or went to the tabernacle, they offered strange fire. That's odd. That's odd. And I read that and I thought, because I did not remember ever reading that again. I'm sure I have, but I don't remember it. If I did, I didn't relate it with them two guys there that got burned up for offering strange fire, because that's that's something I do remember now. And when I went back, who? And it says they saw the Lord. And this goes to show you from the scriptures that seeing may not necessarily mean believing. These two guys saw the Lord. They were on the mount, separated with Moses, and saw the Lord. They were made priests of this tabernacle, which we're going to talk about. And then they went and offered strange fire. And God killed them. Dead. I don't know, I'm not saying, I don't know whether or not they were saved. I have no idea. It's possible they may have been. But it also goes to show you that human nature will kill you. Your fleshly nature can get you killed. Your sinful nature can get you killed. And God will do it. Especially in this time period, if you're violating one of his types. You go on in the wilderness where Moses spoke to that rock and it gave forth water. They stopped again. God told him to speak to the rock, not to speak. Moses was mad, went out and hit it. It gave forth water. The people did get to drink. They were allowed to live. But it cost Moses going into the promised land. Say, violated the type. Jesus Christ was that rock in the wilderness that followed him. He was struck once. Afterwards, he struck no more. God killed him. God kept him out. But Moses was still saved. So I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering about this where it says, you know, Nadab and Abihu, they saw God and lived. I don't know. But you offer strange fire in the wrong place and God may kill you. You tell lies from a place up here, God may kill you. Or you tell lies out and about somewhere about God, God may kill you. It's kind of spooky. But anyhow, the next part of this trip where Moses went up alone, and it states plainly here, where is it? Verse 12, and the Lord said unto Moses, this is still Exodus 24, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. So Moses was going up to get the Ten Commandments. Tables of stone. The strange part about this is, that's the first thing mentioned there in verse 12. I will give thee tables of stone, it does say, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach to them. Teach them. So Moses rose up and went up by himself. Chapter 25 begins a conversation. Well, no, it's not a conversation. This actually begins a, what I wrote down here. This is a declaration by God, beginning in chapter 25. In verse 1, you know. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying. This conversation, this declaration begins in Exodus 25. You don't see the tablets or the Ten Commandments mentioned for about seven chapters. All the way to Exodus 31 and verse 18, the last verse of chapter 31, he states, and he gave, states, he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. These seven chapters in between are about the tabernacle. Before you get to the Ten Commandments. Now what happens when he comes down to the Ten Commandments, that's another story. Because they end up busted. But anyhow, so I kind of got the idea, and the question is, what do you think is more important here? A better question is, who do you think is more important here? Seven chapters of the book of Exodus are written about the tabernacle of the congregation, the coverings, the vessels, the garments worn by the high priest, the furniture, the fence, the curtains, the altar, and the Ark of the Testament. All of that comes before one verse about two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments written on them. The tabernacle was given in plan and design to the minutest detail, seven chapters worth, before the commandments of stone were given. And somehow I thought that was significant. I hadn't realized it before. I also think this is wonderful, glorious, and full of grace and truth. Because the tabernacle, a place of sacrifice, a place of atonement, a place of forgiveness, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in many aspects, was given before the Ten Commandments. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's a very happy happenstance. Because Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Man needed sacrifice because while Moses, and we'll find this out later, while Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, getting the plan and the design of this tabernacle, Aaron and the people of Israel were already back there breaking the commandments at the same time. This was no surprise to God. It was a surprise to Moses when he got back. But God knew what was going on. They were literally breaking the commandments before Moses got them. While Moses was getting the instructions for the tabernacle, where the atonement for sin was yet to be offered, the commandments, which Moses hadn't gotten yet, were being broken. And I believe, now this is me, the tabernacle of the congregation was more important than the commandments written on stone from my perspective. Because I can't keep those Ten Commandments. They remind me of my failure. And I like what Henry Mahan said about it. When Christ boiled the Ten Commandments down to two, the first one is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That's the first one. Henry Mahan said this. He says, you get past that first one, we don't have to worry too much about the second one. I can't get past the first one. I can't do it. I'd like to do it. I need an Ark of the Testament. I need a tabernacle. I need a sacrifice. Because I sin. I have in me sin. That which is flesh is flesh. But thankfully, that which is spirit is spirit. And I just like the fact that the tabernacle was given to Moses before those Ten Commandments. And I believe God did it on purpose. I don't think it was an accident. I don't think it was an afterthought. It was given in that order to Moses by the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord. For a reason. Because we need this tabernacle. The people of Israel needed this tabernacle. And this tabernacle is a shadow, a type, a picture of his well-beloved Son. And everything that it talks about, the ingredients to make it, the design of it, what you do in it, what the high priest wears, where the high priest goes, what he does, and especially the Ark of the Testimony with the mercy seat above it, where the blood's going to be sprinkled, all of it is Christ. All of it is Christ. And it's pretty good stuff. And hopefully, next week we'll get into a little bit more of the actual beginning of it. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this place and this time. And Lord, thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who you did send to be a propitiation, a mercy seat for the sins of his people. And he came literally in reality, and he literally bore the sins of his people in his body on the tree at Calvary and obtained eternal redemption for them. Thank you, Lord. And we ask for your blessings this day and every day. In his name, amen.